Welcome to Literacy Lunch Break. I'm your host, Marjorie Botari. In this episode, we are going to discuss the range of decodable text, explore how they can be effectively matched to appropriate phases of reading. You'll gain valuable insights into the varying levels of decodables and learn strategies for selecting decodable texts that align with learners' needs. We've been having a lot of discussions around decodable text. We know they are important. I think we can all recognize that when we're teaching students to decode, decodable text should be part of our instruction. So as we think about that term, decodable text, it can mean a lot of different things, right? So as we think about that, some of us may be thinking about how controlled the text is. Some of us may be thinking, oh, decodable text means that it's following a regular pattern. Or perhaps we're thinking decodable text means it's something that I've explicitly taught my students. So as you think about that term decodable text, I'm going to ask you just to think in your mind, what pops into your brain? What kind of text? Is it text like the mat sat on a cat? Or Nan had a pan? Because that's definitely decodable text and we know it's important, but is that the only type of decodable text that exists? Is that what we're using with all of our students? So today we really want to think about the range of decodable text. Decodability is important as we're teaching our students to crack the code. But as we think of a range of kindergarten, first, even second grade students, that decodability is going to look different. The type of text that we should be using with our students should look different. And when we say decodable text, and that's the only descriptor that we have, that can make it really hard as an educator to identify what we should be using. So let's discuss range first. We definitely know we want to, again, match the sounds and the print to what we're teaching students as we look for that decodable text. But we also need to be considering how many words are on a page, how many sentences are on a page. Right? Am I reading books like The Cat Sat? Or are my students ready for longer sentences? How many sentences are on a page? Val gets wet? Just that one sentence? Or are we having multiple sentences on a page? Right? The dog runs. Val runs. Can Val get the big red hat back? Now, both of those examples, we're focusing on short vowels, right? That's the phonics pattern. But one of those examples only had three words, one sentence. Where these other examples have longer sentences, more words. So as we think about our shift from decodable text, when many of us have been using leveled readers, one of the things I always say is it makes sense that as educators, we want some kind of leveling system, right? We want to be able to identify those more specific criteria of the books that we're choosing. So as you continue to make this journey or use decodable text in your teaching, that's one of the things to consider. Yes, we need to be thinking about the phonics patterns that we're teaching our students, but we also need to be thinking about the content. We need to be thinking about the number of words that are in sentences and the number of sentences on a page. So you may be wondering, well, how do I do that? How do I identify what my students are ready for? And really, we want to think about Linnea Ferry's phases of reading, right? When we think about our more emergent learners, those emergent stages of reading or phases of reading, we do want to have less words on a page, right? Have those short sentences. Our students are just beginning to apply their phonemic awareness and phonic skills to print. That cognitive load is heavy for them. So when they're reading books where there is just one sentence, like Val gets wet, it's looking like this. V-A-L-V-A-L-G-E-T. Wet. Wet, right? They're sounding out every single word, blending that together. It's very labored. It takes a lot of time. And we need to honor that phase. Students need to go through that process of saying the sounds and blending them together. But the more we give them that opportunity to go through that process, the more automatic they'll start to become with reading words. Maybe they don't have to say every single sound. Maybe they're reading a little more automatically. That's when those sentences can become longer and we can put more words on a page. Again, so as you think about how you're using your text, think about not only the phonics pattern that you're teaching, but the phase of reading that your students are in. As they start to move out of that more emergent phase of reading and they start to become more automatic with phonemic awareness skills, become more automatic with phonics knowledge, we do want to start to pull back a little bit and give our students the opportunity to read words that maybe we have not explicitly taught the pattern for. Because again, we've talked a lot in these episodes about David Scherer's self-teaching hypothesis. When we've given our students the skills, the knowledge that the print they see is representing sounds or meanings, but that'll come later in our instruction. But when we're recognizing that print is representing something, and we also have those skills to blend, segment, and manipulate, when we give them those tools, when we give them those resources, we want them to apply these skills to new and unknown words. So as your students start to approach that next phase in reading, start to offer text that provides more, again, more sentences, more words, and you can pull back on that controlled piece. Because when we think about our instruction, we know decodable text plays a role in teaching students how to decode and crack the code, right? Read the words. But we also know our end goal is that students can read any text and comprehend it. We don't get from tightly controlled decodable text to becoming fluent and automatic with any book, right? There has to be some kind of bridge to get us there. So emergent phase of reading, where students are very labored in their readings, just starting to apply these foundational skills, keep those short sentences, just a couple of sentences on a page. And as you progress through those phases, allow yourself to choose text that has more sentences, more words, and is less controlled. Think of this as the bridge, giving our students the opportunity to apply those skills that we've taught them, not just the specific phonics pattern that we're teaching them. This is the bridge that is going to allow our students to learn how to encounter text that really, as we start to read longer books and longer text, we're not focusing on phonics patterns, that writing is really focused on meaning and sending a message to the reader, and they need to be able to encounter a variety of different types of phonics patterns and different types of words. So we hope as you're listening to these episodes, it's really giving you some insight into that very popular phrase or term, decodable text, knowing that it does belong in our classroom as we're working with students to read words, but we're also hoping that this will allow you to have the insight of when to start to pull back and how we can provide our students with the resources and the instruction that they need to become proficient readers. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of the Literacy Lunch Break. If you are enjoying these episodes, we encourage you to follow us, subscribe, and even share with a friend.